It's that time again.
Watch out. Here it comes. Watch out. Here it comes. Watch out.
Well, to the Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the People's Champ, Vinrock, Vince. Welcome back to the show.
You bastard, you leave Melbourne and you leave rain behind with you.
I left it all in Sydney, flash floods, crazy tornado weather, living it up in Melbourne, sunshine, come back to Sydney and sunshine. I don't know how I escaped that.
Yeah, we're copping it now, so thanks very much.
No worries. I like to leave the trail. Like a snail. Well, the trip to Melbourne did come at a little bit of a cost. We didn't get our playoff predictions out before the playoffs started, but that's okay. I have been watching a few games here and there. And we should kick it off with the Eastern Conference.
Yes, let's.
First seed plays 8th seed. Atlanta versus the Brooklyn Nets. Atlanta so far leading 2-0 in this series. I've got them down as a sweep. Bring out the brooms now. I just think it's time to let this Brooklyn roster go.
You don't think Brooklyn can pinch one off? They can.
I really don't think they can. I mean, the saving grace has been a comment made by Lionel Hollins through the week, saying that, you know, they're going to look to dump the ball into Lopez more.
About time.
Right? That's exactly my reaction to that comment. That's what it took you two games to figure that out.
Your boy Lionel, mate, he's been questioned a bit by a few people.
Well, you know what? I can't defend him.
I still think in Brooklyn they can pinch one, especially if Lopez really drops a 30-odd point game and, you know, double-figure rebounds, which is rare.
I just feel like they stretch Brooklyn way too far. I mean, it was kind of interesting going into this series. You had the comments by Paul Pierce made it just before the playoffs kicked off about the drive and the will factor of Deron Williams and Joe Johnson. You know, he came out basically saying that, you know, those guys didn't want to practice. You know, they just wanted to show up, collect their checks, basically, was what he was saying. And I don't know, it's hard to gauge, but I kind of feel like Paul Pierce was right.
I can really see where he's coming from with Deron Williams.
I mean, Paul Pierce and KG in that Brooklyn squad, they shouldn't be the guys there to get the team ramped up.
No, that's right. They were there to provide leadership and for Paul Pierce to do his thing in the fourth. But, yeah, they wanted Joe Johnson and Williams to step up and do what they're good at doing, apparently, which is putting the pill in the basket. But Williams, he's crap now. He's finished.
Just totally falling off ledge, right?
Well, I don't know if it's his injuries that he suffered or it is motivation or he doesn't want to practice anymore or he's just happy cashing the checks and just going through the motions, but this rate is a backup.
Well, I was going to say to you, look, we've been known on the show to have our top 10 lists, you know, through previous years. I've definitely had D. Will in the past on my list, but, oh man, he is nowhere near top 10 right now.
Nowhere bloody near it. It's, I'm not even sure a change of scenery would help him. He looks a step slower. I'll give him that. Maybe it is the ankles. Maybe his body's just not letting him do what he wants to do.
Mm.
But Joe Johnson has always been that laid-back sort of character. But I thought he played okay this year.
Well, yeah, I thought he played great last season as well. You know, he was definitely their closer last year. I mean, the rosters feels a little mismatch as well. But they definitely have some nice pieces. Like, you know, I really like Plumlee. I really like Jared Jack, you know, they have definite pieces. You know, Thaddeus Young coming into the mix, you know, has breathed a little bit of life into this squad.
But all guys who are nice coming off the bench on a good team. So, yeah, is Lopez unrestricted? Because if he is, he's not him coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit of a rabble. No first-round picks.
I just think it's time to go into Knicks mode for Brooklyn.
For a long, long time.
I mean, they need it. They need it. They've got some pieces. Yeah. They've got some pieces. They can, you know, still sprinkle some sugar on top and try and trade away and get some value back. But, I mean, I can't see this. I can't see in Brooklyn even getting a game.
it makes me laugh because you were one of the flogs who was like, oh, I could win a championship.
Well, yeah, that's true. But that doesn't mean forever. That doesn't mean I forever think that. It just means at the time I was like, yep, they could definitely contend.
Oh, they got Garnett, Pierce, and everyone. Oh, no, they're too old. They're quite, oh, no, they could win it.
Well, Atlanta's averaging about 110 points in this series. I just don't see Brooklyn having enough to stop that. They're too good from outside. And this series as well, this is a really good warm-up for Atlanta. You know, they lost Thabo out for the season due to the, you know, the incident, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good series for them to get their feet wet, back on track, and start playing some Atlanta basketball. And, you know, they need to close this one out.
They'll close it out comfortably, just travelling along nicely at the minute.
You think Brooklyn will get a game on Atlanta, though?
Yeah, I do.
I think game two is their best shot at getting a game on them.
It's just that home cooking. You get a bit of home cooking, the crowd needs to get going. The crowd just needs to make a shit ton of noise. It'll only be one game and then Hawks will just see it out.
Just got the other gear.
They're just that much better.
Well, talking about just that much better, let's jump to fourth seed plays five. Toronto versus Washington. Washington currently leading the series 3-0. A nail biter today in DC. Obviously, Paul Pierce coming out. Man, Paul Pierce was just everywhere before the playoffs started. I love it. He's just giving himself that drive and that motivation, saying that Toronto lacked that it factor. Really.
What exactly is the it factor?
Well, the it factor is, you know, they lack a player that can, you know, take over the game. They lack that it factor. They're a good team, but they just lack it.
Does Washington have that?
I think they do. I think they showed it today. Paul Pierce, three daggers, Paul Pierce. Just every time looked like Toronto were getting up, just the deflated look on Toronto's face after a Paul Pierce three was just, you know, that's why they signed him, that's why they bought him there. Man, it was a great game today.
Took the words right out of my mouth, McCoy. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I've got to give to DeRozan. At least he came out with a bit of fire in the belly. I think he had 20 points in the first quarter in today's game.
Yeah, look, they've got some decisions to make. I can tell you now, Dwayne Casey's gone. What did I tell you about Dwayne Casey?
Career assistant.
Thank you. Get you to a point, but that's it. The only guys are a lock to stay are obviously Lowry, DeRozan, Valanciunas. I reckon Amir Johnson should stay, but I think the rest, they've got to make a decision. Can we get someone as a free agent that's, you know, we can pair up with these guys that's a legit guy? Or do we go through the draft again, try and get a pick? Because it's just shown they're not that good.
I felt like going into the series, Raptors had, you know, the motivation at least from last year, you know, being bounced in such a tight series with Brooklyn. Lowry, though, worries me. I haven't really seen that pit bull this series. I saw it for a little bit today in game three, but he has a lot of trouble getting shots off on John Wall. Like, and I think it's just the length and the speed and the athleticism. It's not
any danger of someone setting him a pick.
Well, this is the other side of it as well. But, you know, I really haven't seen that attack dog, Kyle Lowry, you know, in the paint, mixing it up, snatching rebounds, you know, just that mentality. And it might just be because he's, you know, still shaking off the injury, but I don't know, it's playoffs now, you got to step up. The defense is our good friend Kamal Hilton has pointed out countlessly through the year, you know, their defense stinks right now. It's kind of funny this series because I look at it and go, Toronto actually is Washington, but 2 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
It's just they've got a good squad, but they haven't crossed that line yet. I totally agree with what you're saying with Casey, the coach. I mean, yeah, look, he's taken them to this point. It's time to part ways now. You know, they'll make some decisions in the offseason. They need to tweak and upgrade. But, I mean, you talk about next year, they do those things, they come back, maybe they get a better coach with a bit more experience. Add to that the learning curve from, you know, the past 2 years in the playoffs. I mean, they're not exactly going anywhere anytime soon.
Should they have given the ball to Valanciunas a bit more?
I don't feel like he's having a great second half of the season anyway, so I'm not so mad about that.
But how about building the guy's confidence up a bit?
Yeah. I mean, he's a force.
The biggest problem was, for me anyway, was matching up against those wizard big guys.
Yeah.
So you have to get this guy going. You have to play Amir Johnson. They're getting smashed on the boards.
You have to make him a factor, right?
Exactly. Give him something to think about in the middle. You can't let them have it all their own way. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they can land, because they're really a nice piece away.
Where's James Johnson been this series?
Yeah, Kamal actually...
where the hell has he been? Why? He hasn't been getting any minutes.
It flabbergasted me, mate. He was playing so well, and he could have helped, surely. I know Kamal was... he was not happy at all.
They could definitely use a utility guy. A guy is going to get in, mix it, bring some energy. You know, that's what this Raptors team needed. It's one of those things, you know, if you're not going to be bringing it on the defensive end, you need to be bringing it in all the other categories to get these Ws. You know, this is the playoffs now. It's not a one and done. You're going to play one game and then they're going to go back. They're going to scout. They're going to watch tape. You know, they're going to know your tendencies. So you need to be doing everything else right.
Under Dwayne Casey, that does not happen.
This is true.
And on the other side of the coin, poor Wizards fans, they're probably going to be stuck with another at least half a season of Randy Whitman. Because how do you sack a guy that's gone to the second round? You know, they've improved.
It's got to be one of those Hall of Fame coaches, right? Like, it's the only way you can make that move now.
That's the thing.
You can't...
Unless you're getting coach tips.
Yeah, you can't get rid of him for a college coach right now. Like... Oh, the sampler, the Whitman sampler. How do we survive his madness? Was a little bit worried heading into this series what sort of John Wall we'd get. I mean, we talked about before this series started, I think on the last minisode, about Washington and do they have enough experience to turn it on. Again, you know, much like, I suppose, the Atlanta-Brooklyn series we just touched on, same sort of thing. It's actually a pretty good warm-up for the Wiz, because if they take a night off, they're going to drop a game. But Bradley Beal's been playing well. Otto Porter's been playing fantastic.
Which is good to see, because that would they spend a pick three on him? You know, hopefully Paul Pierce has been good for him this year, you know, mentoring him somewhat, putting him under his wing. But yeah, John Wall, I've always got confidence in John Wall that he would come up in a playoff series.
I don't know, just sometimes I feel like his aggressiveness goes away during game. I don't know if it's just a fatigue factor, as if he... You know, Wall at times can be a little bit like of a Goran Dragic to me. You know, they're that type of guard that's going to just jam it down your throat every single play. And John Wall definitely swayed away from that a little bit, I think, in the second half of the year. But he looks like to be... I mean, look, I know it's playoffs. I know everyone says, you know, everything slows up a tad bit, so you can expect it. But just the aggressiveness from John Wall, I just want to see a little bit more of it.
Yeah, do you think sometimes he falls in love with the jumper, but just settles for the jumper? Or, he, you know, does he think, well, if I hit a couple of jumpers, so don't have to come up and I'll just... Because he'll blow by anyone.
No, I just think he passes off too much.
Well, he's... I mean, I guess he's trying to keep guys involved, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's true. The type of guy who'll give you... If he drops 30, he's usually got 10 or 11 assists.
Yeah. I mean, it's that thing, you know. I'm saying all this and Washington's up 3-0 right now, so...
Yeah, well, you are a picky bastard, let's face it. You are a picky bastard.
Paul Pierce, like,
though.
You
want a guy like John Wall to have 30 points, 15 assists, and no turnovers.
No, I know that's not realistic.
Oh, you know it's unrealistic, do you?
How dare you call me out?
You are.
Well, I've got Washington winning the series 4-1, Vince. I do think Toronto sneak one game. I think the Toronto fans deserve one game.
Sorry to say, Kamala, because he's a good buddy of ours. I think they're swept.
Ooh, bring out the brooms?
Yeah, brooms, dustpans.
Vacuum cleaners. The chamois. Bring the chamois out.
Yeah, Gonski, mate.
Wow. Let's move ahead now. 3-seed plays 6, Chicago versus Milwaukee. Chicago up 3-0 right now.
And I'm loving it.
Derrick Rose comes out to say that he's still one of the best players in the NBA. Do you agree?
Do I agree? Fully healthy? Yes. There's a little asterisk next to him. Derrick Rose, when fully fit and healthy, he is still one of the best players in the NBA. When he's sore and stiff and... Arthritic? No.
Hmm. I mean, I like the chippiness of this series. I've really enjoyed this series the most, I think. I thought heading into it that Chicago might have been in a little bit of trouble just with Heinrich being out. You know, obviously Noah coming back from injury so soon. Obviously, there's the D. Rose factor to some extent. But the surprising thing to me about this Chicago team is that they've just seemed to have got healthy at the right time.
I have preached this a million times. As long as you're playing best ball at the pointy end of the season, that's all that matters. Yeah. You're in the playoffs, that is. And Gasol hasn't even hit his straps yet in the playoffs. I mean, he's been good.
He's been playing well.
He's got some big games still left in the tank.
Well, I just didn't know. I suppose it wasn't until game three yesterday that I really went. I was really in my head. I'm thinking Rose is just not there yet. But he just seemed to wheel the guys over the line yesterday. Still doesn't feel not quite right. You know, the factor in this is Butler's last year, probably in Chicago. You know, things fall apart. Even Coach Thibs last year in Chicago.
Oh, it's definitely his last year in Chicago. You know, just dumb.
I just think things can fall apart a little quick. I'm surprised, though, that Chicago haven't been using Dougie McBuckets too much.
It's been a real disappointing rookie year for Dougie McBuckets.
I mean,
he could have helped.
He had a bit of injury, but Thibs has been, and this is, I suppose, one of the X marks against Thibs, is, you know, he tends to stick with his core guys, and that's kind of it. But I don't know. I just feel like such a good shooter, spread the floor.
When they got him, I definitely thought he could help.
I thought I didn't think he was going to win Rookie of the Year or anything, but I thought he'd be like a rotation player at least.
Yeah, I was the same with you. But then he got the knee injury, and it's surgery, I think.
But he's back. He's healthy now. He hasn't touched the floor in like I don't even want to guess how long.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I don't think he will be touching the floor anytime soon unless they're up by 40 or 30. But, yeah, like you said, it's one of the black marks against Tibbs' name. He uses his core guys, and that's what the front office don't like, that he piles them against to his core guys. But the runs are on the board. This team, the first time he had a full healthy roster, they had the best record in the league. All these years with the injuries, he's still got them up to play. They all had winning seasons.
They've made playoffs every year he's been there.
Without
Derek Rose. Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah, tell you what, put Byron Scott there.
See what happens
to that team.
Whoa.
messages, favourites. Oh, God. At least with Tibbs, you know where you stand.
True. Well, at least with Tibbs, you know you're earning minutes, right? Like,
well, that's it. You're a 37-year-old superstar. This is Byron Scott. Yeah, you can take 40 shots. Go for it.
Actually, I thought he didn't shoot enough tonight. Should have had 50.
Yeah, well, he said that once, didn't he?
Yeah.
He shot enough.
Good lord. He
took 33 shots. No, come in.
Oh, yeah? Well, look, this Bucks team, I mean, they're not exactly making it easy for Chicago, though. I mean, double OT game yesterday. I thought they definitely showed their inexperience yesterday at times. You know, the turnovers really hurt them. They were right in that. Game one, I didn't expect Milwaukee to win. Michael Carter-Williams, that kid needs a jump shot.
He does.
Needs a mid-range shot because there you go. When he's not slashing and cutting to the rim or getting out on a fast break, he stops. The ball stops. And that really hurts him. Factoring in that they don't have a guy like, you know, Jabari Parker who can create off the dribble. Giannis is okay, but, you know, definitely he's still young. He's still raw. He's still developing that part of his game. But, yeah, Carter Williams for me in this series has been probably the most frustrating because his jump shot is just non-existent, it seems.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's not that bad.
It's up there.
It's not. But, I think that last game, the double OT, that'll give them confidence. I think they can pinch a game.
Yeah.
Oh, they certainly stuck it up me this year. I'll give them that.
Mm. The player I've actually been really surprised with, I mean, Henson's been really good as well for Milwaukee. You know, he's definitely given Noah, you know, trouble here and there. But the player I've been probably the most surprised by has been Chris Middleton. Every game I've watched of Milwaukee, he just seems to have gotten better and better.
One of those guys, though, that it's hard to explain. He was at Detroit, does nothing, didn't look good at all. Is he one of these blokes who you just give him minutes and he just scores somehow, but then once they're a really good team, you just can't give the guy minutes because he just really isn't that good.
Are you saying he's a little Alan Houston?
Oh. What are you saying about Alan Houston? He was bloody good.
He was all right.
No, I'm saying he's a bit like, who am I thinking of here? Someone like a Jim Less.
Oh, he's not that bad. Come on now. How dare you?
Had a couple of good years because I actually got some minutes. And there's like, you know what? You only get minutes because you're not that good. Because we're not that good. We're not that good. So when we're good, sit down.
Oh, no. He just seems to be a player that plays the game the right way, looks for his shot, doesn't force anything. I didn't think his mid-range was as good as it was. And he's definitely got a little bit of an outside touch, but he's definitely held the Bucks in this series. And through the last half of the season for them as well with all their injuries. I mean, I've spoken about it before on the Facebook page, or Caps Courtside. Walking away from this season for Milwaukee, you know, just their length and their youth is going to be something that just keeps them in the mix because they're only going to get better, I feel. But I actually had Milwaukee for an upset in this series.
You would, because you're a dickhead.
Well, look, I just thought I didn't see Chicago getting as healthy as they did to start the playoffs. So I actually
even had, not healthy, they've got no chance of winning this series.
What are you talking about?
I tell you what, folks, this is what Hank does. He latches onto something that he thinks is really good, and that he really wants them to succeed, and he can't see the reality. He just. Whatever his dream is, he thinks that's what's going to happen. And this is what he has got with the Bucks in this series. He actually thought they had a chance to win this series.
Come on. Come on.
You are a dead set flog.
Well, berate me all you want, buddy. But it's time to pay up.
Oh, I can't do it today.
Slap bet, buddy.
I can't do it today.
You owe me a slap.
I owe you a slap, and I will. I've told you before the show, I'm just a bit under the weather.
This will make you feel alive, Vince. This will shake the sickness, a good slap to the face. You just shake the senses. You'll get it over and done with, and we can move on.
Let me tell you. I guarantee you the next show, I will slap myself so silly.
I am so disappointed in you.
I won't know what week it is, but I've got the headache from hell.
This will be good for your headaches. Slaps are good for headaches.
Get under the weather. Call me soft. Call me whatever. And if I don't do it next show, I'll slap myself twice.
All right. Oh. So I want all the Courtside members to jump on Vince's Facebook page and tell him what a putz he was for not slapping himself. No, come on now.
Come on. They're a compassionate bunch. I've got a headache. I'm a bit under the weather. I've got a big hands, mate. I can't slap myself.
I'm telling you, it's scientifically proven that if you slap yourself, the senses, it's good for headaches. It's really good for headaches.
I think it's scientifically proven that sex gets rid of headaches. unless you're willing to give some of that up, it ain't going anywhere.
Oi. You haven't even bought me lunch yet. Right, before we jump across to the last matchup, Chicago, the way they're playing right now, do you see them making the Eastern Conference Finals? Is that a possibility? Is it a thought, or should they just be taking it one game, one series at a time?
Well, I'm sure they're taking it one game, one series, but I think they could make the Eastern Conference. Oh, actually, I'm penciling them in.
So they would probably match up against, what, Cleveland? Cleveland-Boston winner? You think they've got what it takes to beat Cleveland?
Yep.
Wow.
I just have no confidence that front line with Mozgov, even though I like Mozgov, nothing against the guy, I think he's a handy player. Kendrick Perkins is just, who I actually used to like when he was in Boston, has just declined at an alarming rate. I don't even know if he can catch a pill anymore.
Didn't he retire after Boston? I don't know.
And Kevin Love can stop Pau Gasol and Noah. I just don't see that happening. I think Gasol's going to have a magnificent series against them. And I think Derrick Rose, for the love of God, just stays healthy and steps it up a notch against them. So you're thinking, defensively is another question. They're going to have quite a task holding on to Irving and LeBron. But in saying that, I think they can get past them.
In one sense, I feel like Chicago fans deserve it. even if they don't make it all the way, like they just deserve to beat Cleveland. Like, they really do.
But on the other hand, too, lifelong Cavs fans, and I'm talking the true ones, not the ones that have come over from Miami, they really deserve a championship too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, our last matchup, Second seed plays 7. Cleveland versus Boston. Cleveland currently leading the series 3-0. David Black coming out at the start of the series saying, this can't be all on LeBron. This is a team and a team effort to win this series. You know, you've got the playoff newbies in Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. I was wondering what their switch-up was going to be from regular season to having a playoff mindset. But I suppose in saying that, you know, they've got a lot of guys around them, i.e. LeBron, you know, all those guys who have been there, done that. So they're not exactly a young team, and they're not exactly scrubs as well. But they've just run Boston, really.
Yeah, too big, too good.
I mean, Boston have been scrappy and been in it at times, but just not enough to get across the line, really.
Oh, they're in it because, you know, they play hard, and Stevens is a really good coach. But, you know, they're just Cleveland, class above, with player personnel-wise.
Yeah. I thought really the only way that Boston can snatch a game is if they take advantage of the mismatches. You know, because we've talked about this Boston roster, you know, and what a patchy sort of put-together roster and the credit that goes towards Brad Stevens. But I think that was the only real way, you know, if you could exploit the tweeners and just give Cleveland headaches. But it really does feel like, yeah, like you just said, Cleveland a bit too big, a bit too strong.
Yeah, they hang with them for a little bit, you know, maybe for a half, maybe for three quarters. But in the end, the cream rolls just to the top with this Caps team over that Boston team.
Philip Brown, actually, he had a question for us. We just asked a couple of you guys your X factors for this series, and he had Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith for Cleveland. To be honest, I don't really feel like Cleveland's even needed the X factors right now.
No, they haven't. But going forward, the huge X factors, especially Shumpert's D.
Can you see Boston catching a game?
No way.
Sweep?
And watch them come out and get one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah, I think they close him out. I mean, we haven't even talked about, you know, guys like Tristan Thompson, you know, all these guys just doing their thing in Boston.
Yeah, because you know why we haven't? Because there's no need.
I loved Evan Turner's attempted dunk on LeBron James. It was quite amusing. LeBron giving him quite an earful, and rightfully so. It was a fair block. Jay Crowder, man, that guy I was never really a big fan of him, but he's impressed me.
Well, I was listening to Bill Simmons during the weekend. He said, you know, Boston fans, you've wanted another James Posey. Well, here he is, Jay Crowder.
It kind of feels like that. I could actually see, like, quite easily, like, how this guy could quite become a fan favourite in Boston. I mean, he's just a hard-nosed player, really.
You reckon the Mavs could have used him today?
Oh, we'll get on to the Mavs a bit later, I think.
Yes, sir.
That's a show. Oh, boy. Well, that's the Eastern Conference, Vince. It's time now to jump to the West. The West first rounders. First seed plays 8. Golden State versus New Orleans. My goodness, what a finish. Game 3 yesterday. That was insane. Golden State didn't have any business. Golden State didn't have any business.
Shut up.
Winning that game.
No, you're right, they did not. But, you know, I forget what I was doing. I was working. And I think I got a message from you, and I saw the score, and I'm like, I reckon Golden State will come back. I'm not sure they'll win it, but they'll definitely make a comeback. You just can't count them out.
Oh, Steph Curry, my goodness.
That's just put in the bag, hasn't it, MVP?
Well, this is the thing, you know. James Harden comes out and drops another 42 today against Dallas. It's like this... I'm so frustrated with this. I just want them to name the MVP so I can bitch about why the other guy didn't get it. Like, honestly, like, it's ridiculous. Like, James Harden is playing so good right now, so good. But then Steph Curry just put that team on his back. Oh, my goodness. There really is no right or wrong answer with it. Like, if they gave a co-MVP, I would totally understand it this year.
Could we possibly have a co-MVP?
I think they need to.
On years just like this, you know what, guys? We can't split it. These have both been awesome all year. Here's a trophy each.
I mean,
see you later.
The only edge I can really think of is the record. But surely it doesn't come down to that.
But everyone keeps saying, oh, Harden's had no help all year. He's had a lot of help. He's had decent help.
They've had key guys out. I'll give them that.
Yeah, but they've also had some decent players step in.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Terrence Jones has played well since he's come back.
It's tough.
Monta Junior's played well.
It's tough.
Reese has been there all year. Corey Brewer, they got Josh Smith, so he's had help.
They've got pieces. Houston's a solid team. Like
people out there, you see people on Twitter, Harden hasn't had much help. He's had plenty.
I just think it's so neck and neck. If they were to give a co-MVP, I wouldn't even fight it.
No one could argue.
I would really, if they gave a co-MVP, I would really feel like you're just picking at straws, you know, to argue either way. I mean, because you can make a case for, if one of those guys misses out, you can make a case either way with this, but it's just not the case. It's just, they're both playing phenomenal. They don't want to be outdone by each other, you know, like just honestly, it feels that way. Like I'm sure Harden was watching a tape from the Warriors-Pelicans games and watching Curry hit that 3-point bomb over two outstretched Pelicans players and just going, you know what, tomorrow, I'm just going to take it.
But, you know, even the guys who give out the votes, I think Bill Simmons has got a vote this year. He's like, you could tell when he talks on his show, like, he had no idea who he was going to vote for. He kept changing his mind every day.
Yeah. Co-MVP, it's the perfect, if you're ever going to do it, this is the time to do it.
You know, it wouldn't cheapen it, would it?
I don't think so. Not this year. I don't think, like I said, any other year, I think it would. But I just think this year, it's so close. It's the closest we've had in a century.
Okay, what are you? I'd be happy with a co-MVP.
Oh, man.
I wonder how much co-MVPs would have been paying at the TAB.
Let's get back to this series, though. Golden State, New Orleans. Steph Curry comes out and says at the start of the series, if we are not locked into our game plan, our execution, they can definitely beat us. And we nearly saw that yesterday. I mean, Anthony Davis, I just think it's funny sometimes, you know, with all the talk about big men in the league, you know, being extinct and whatnot, and just when a big guy decides to take over a game, just how dominant they are. Do you know, because if guards aren't hitting their shots, it goes wayward pretty quick, but a big guy can just totally change the shape of a game.
Especially one with the skill set of Anthony Davis.
My goodness, that kid is a superstar or what?
And again, I'm going to apologise to Anthony Davis because I did not think he was going to be this dominant and good, and he's only getting better. Without him, this team's just lottery bound.
Yeah. It was good to see guys turn up yesterday for that Pelicans game, though. You know, it's good to see Ryan Anderson have a good game. It's good to see Tyreek Evans do his thing for a little bit. But Davis was just a beast.
He almost, to me, reminds me, he's like the LeBron of the power forward center position. Can do it all.
Yeah.
Shoot, rebound, block. Probably not as good a passer as LeBron is, but he just does it all. And he does it. It just kills you. It's just all on him. If he has a massive game, they could pinch a game here. I'm telling you.
It's inexperience, right? It's
fits.
It's, oh, man.
That's not Bogut's fault. He's 7 foot and he lumbers a bit. And not that Bogut is actually really slow. He's not. He is up and down the court. But
he opens
the basket. He's pretty nifty.
Oh, he opens up the court for him. I was just thinking about what Golden State have done this year and their dangers going into this series. And really, not just this series, because I've got them pegged for a clean sweep, and I've had that since the start. But they can really change history, this team. Like, they've got... the one thing they can't do in the playoffs is slow it down. You know, they've got to push. They've got to play with pace. I honestly, like, we see, like, good teams, you know, like the Golden State eras before them. You know, under Don Nelson, that push the pace. I mean, this team is just another level of that. We see those teams come apart all the time in the playoffs, but I just feel like Golden State right now, they just have all the pieces. They actually need to play with that pace to stay in it. And if they can maintain it throughout the series, I really feel like we could easily see them holding up a crown at the end of the day.
They're young enough to keep playing at that pace too. It doesn't matter if Bogut's playing centre. You can still run at that pace because he just stayed up.
Hey, he's got a rebound and block shots, and that's what he does. So
That's it. Look, I totally agree with you. I just would like to see a bit more out of Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala. I know he's been brought in to play D, and he's coming off the bench, and he's not getting a lot of stuff run for him. But
he does feel like a little bit of a non-factor though at times.
They really need him to especially if they come up against teams like the Spurs.
I mean, yesterday's game, you know what, Vince? Yesterday's game is a really good example of Iggy. Like, I just don't feel like he was a factor all game.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, you know, taking on the defensive responsibilities. Maybe it was that, you know, maybe I didn't take note of. But usually with Iggy, usually you see the effect.
Yeah.
Maybe
he should be giving you more than 4 points in the playoff series.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's just so important with that second unit as well to have someone on there who you can just generate some scoring. And it's not just on him. It's Harrison Barnes. It's David Lee as well.
Yeah.
But, look, man, this is exciting. It's turned out to be a pretty exciting series.
Oh, it's been great. And, man, kudos to the Pelicans fans because they filled that stadium yesterday. It was amazing.
Did I see that blonker Nick Young post a photo there?
I believe you did.
What a moron. He he's from Moronville.
How do we have any courtside listeners at all?
No, I couldn't give stuff about Adelaide. I couldn't give stuff. We get no listeners. They're a bunch of flogs.
Oh, no.
He's surrounded by, like, just Golden State Warriors jersey. He's got his crappy red Pelicans jersey. Walking into, oh, look where I'm going. Yeah, it's just not beating out of here.
X factors for this series, Jamal Graham, he says Anthony Davis will definitely win the Pelicans a game or two. I don't know about that.
I have to agree.
I don't agree. I think they had their shot yesterday. I think Golden State, they close it out now. I mean, they played pretty bad for 3.5 quarters.
They can pinch one. I think they can pinch one.
What else does Davis have to do? I mean... I don't want to ask that.
Probably drop 50. No, I think they can. I mean, geez, they beat the Spurs. And when the Spurs came in motivated because the Spurs wanted that second seed. So they've shown they can do it. So I'm going to say I agree with my man there, Jamal. Is Jamal a Lakers fan?
You're on an island. I don't know, actually.
He's a good bloke. He must be.
You know who I hear is a Laker fan, though?
Who?
TJ Hollis. He's a Laker fan.
Is he?
I have no evidence to back that statement up whatsoever.
No, he would be. All good blokes. All good blokes are Lakers fans.
Oh, boy.
Or you're a flog.
Let's jump to the next series. 4 seed plays 5. Portland versus Memphis. Memphis up 2-0 right now. It's not looking good for Portland fans. The talks come back that LaMarcus could be bouncing. We see this every year. The Portland curse, though, man. Injuries. This team, I think, would really give full strength. This team, especially after the follow trade during the season, would definitely give Memphis a little bit more headache than what they're copping right now. But, I mean, it is what it is. Batum came out and said that, you know, I know what I had to do. It's the playoffs. Everyone has to step up. Story of his life. My goodness.
Farewell, Terry Stotts.
You think he's done?
Another dud coach. And I'm not happy he's going to be unemployed, but I kept telling you this guy's no good. Career assistant. You're not winning anything with your name Stotts.
It's all in the name. It's all in the name.
And Cam Cripps, who loyal listener, massive Portland fan. I kept telling him all year, Stotts is no good. You're not going to win anything with Terry Stotts.
You're in a poisonous relationship there, Cam. Poisonous.
He's hungry for a chip, and I keep telling him, you're not going to be one with this guy. But I actually think, you're telling me they're playing for this bloke?
Well, they're pretty depleted, man.
The rubbish they've dished up?
They're pretty depleted. I mean, Batum never shows up, except for his contract year and Minnesota throwing money at him.
Hey, wait, hang on a minute. He's played like that all year.
Exactly.
And they've played pretty well. All of a sudden...
But there's no Matthews now. Afolo's barely on the court. He had that shoulder injury before the playoffs started. I mean, they're pretty depleted. They also have almost no bench. Why they made that Thomas Robinson deal, I don't know, but surely they could have kept him around.
Yeah, they've still got... I guess the guards are a bit depleted, but...
I mean, look, you've got Conley and Tony Allen, you know, a little bit banged up, but, I mean, that's about it for Memphis, really. I mean, Conley's still playing, so, I mean, you can't be too bad, but the foot's obviously, you know, aggravating, but Zebo's just been eating the Portland Bigs alive. I mean,
Again, apologies to Zebo. I said he was on the decline a little. Apologies.
No, you know what? I actually agree with it, though. It's just that you don't need much athleticism to play Zeebo's game. I mean, it's all head smarts. It's all position. Like we said, like you've said 100 times on the show, Vince, you know, you could barely probably jump over a jam team.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's, you know, he doesn't have an outside shot. He's a work on the inside. So I don't know, man. I just think,
Well, I saw what he did inside against Lamarcus. Like, he's beasting him inside.
Mm.
Like, he's hitting him hard.
Yeah. And he's just going at him. Like a salty hard. He's just going at him. He's just, that's the thing. And, but he's not playing with injury right now. Like, that's the biggest trouble. I actually read something interesting today that Zeebo actually helped pave the way for LaMarcus Aldridge in Portland as far as LaMarcus Aldridge bouncing. What do you reckon? Do you think he's gone?
Hello?
Do you think, I mean, look, we've heard the rumours for past 3 seasons, really pretty heavy of him interested in leaving. I mean, obviously the Lillard signing, you know, helped.
My gut feeling, and I think he is. I think he's gone.
Sets him back.
It sets him back majorly. Luckily, they've still got little Dame. But I honestly think he's gone. I just get that feeling. I'm a Vibe man. It's the Dennis Nudo rule. It's the vibe of the thing.
It is.
What do you think?
Oh, man, this is not going to go over well. I think he's a fool if he stays. I honestly do. I just don't see Portland doing it. It could all change with a new coach, you know, that's the thing. But it's just, man, I don't know what it is about Portland. Their guys just getting injured.
Their guys getting injured? Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I feel like they're cursed. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. They're cursed. You're not wrong. Look what they did to Odin and Roy.
LaMarcus has just got to see. You know what? It probably just depends where he is at his career. You know, if he still feels like he needs to be the man, then he'll probably stay. But if he feels like that maybe he's got a better opportunity, look, let's say, for argument's sake, in New York.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking.
Maybe that's an option worth taking.
Because you get him, Melo, you get a good pick, you're getting someone good in the draft.
I'll tell you what, though, if you're Portland, Vince, and you fire the coach, and LaMarcus Aldridge is a free agent, you better pucker up.
Yeah, and all that talk, you know, Dame Lillard said, "Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I love Portland. I'm staying in Portland."
Watch that turn pretty quick.
Yeah, watch that turn around.
When the losing starts, that's when you see some true colours.
Yeah.
Back to this series, I've got Memphis sweeping this.
I can't disagree there. I think Portland's just. They're rolling around with one oar in the water.
Really, be really interested to see how well that Golden State Memphis series goes, though, in the second round. That'll be a doozy.
Nelly.
That'll be a doozy.
That's one where you just call in sick.
Yeah.
We can work.
every second day, I'll be sick.
The doctor said I need 5 days of NBA. Week of NBA. I'll be right.
Let's move along now. Oh, this is a rough one. To the Clippers-San Antonio series. 3-seed plays 6. San Antonio clicking at the right time. A whitewash today for anyone who watched Game 3. And San Antonio lead the series 2-1 with the Clippers sneaking Game 1.
And I just saw a report that Doc Rivers is still looking for Chris Paul. Apparently didn't turn up today.
Too soon.
What a joke.
Man, he had some terrible turnovers today.
Nearly had a massive game for Chris Paul. You know, apparently he's a superstar and the best point guard going around. Oh. 7.6 turnovers.
Yeah, he played terrible.
In a massive game. Massive game where he should have stamped his leadership on the group, on this game.
You know what?
Sorry, which one of them's got the championship ring?
Look, I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Just saying, Vince.
Part of you thinks it's Doc Rivers. Give me a spell, please.
I don't know if the guys are playing for him anymore. I think he's losing the guys.
Any more excuses you want to make for your boy Chris Paul?
He played shit yesterday. What do you want me to say? I totally agree. He played terrible. J. JJ Redick played terrible. Big Baby Davis played terrible. Everyone played terrible.
Go to the shop and buy himself a jump shot. Because he can't do anything. Well,
you pull that off your best N1 t-shirt or what?
Oh, mate, I used to use that down at Parkwood Secondary College, mate. When I was 45 years ago when I was 16. Mate, he sucked.
He did.
They all suck.
He did.
And can I say another thing? I'm on a bit of a rant here, but I couldn't give a stuff. Let me tell you something, DeAndre Jordan.
Ooh.
When you were the most athletic big man in that series, and you let a 38-year-old Tim Duncan drop 28 and 11 on you, you're a disgrace.
Ouch.
You are an absolute disgrace. I wouldn't have that guy on my team for all the tea in China.
It's a lot of tea.
He should be giving Duncan fits on the defensive end. This guy's playing on one leg. Did you see him walk from the bench to the scorer's table? He was dragging his left foot. And this DeAndre Jordan can't stop him. What hope have they got?
Yeah. I mean, today's game, like they really shut down. I mean, Chris Paul, yeah, granted, they really shut down Blake. They shut down everyone. I mean, it was like I said to you today before we started recording, that game was over by halftime.
Oh, dude. Well, one thing Blake Griffin, he tried today. One thing I want him to do.
Had a bit of ticker with him today, didn't he?
He did, but lift your head up a bit, son, and slow down. Just wants to barrel through people. Just lift your heads, mate. Just lift it. Settle down a bit. You don't have to go so fast to the basket all the time. Just look at Diao. He just turns like the Queen Mary. But he's got the basketball brain and he just knows when to go and just get used to the fakes and all that sort of stuff. It's frustrating to watch.
I mean, Patty Mills has had a great series. You know, Parker hasn't been exactly 100%, and it's great to see Millsy hit his strides, especially game two. It was fantastic.
Yeah, sometimes I think Patty Mills is good enough to be a starter in the league, and then it's like, no, he's not. I just don't know. Do you think he could start for a team?
No, I think he's in his perfect role.
Yeah.
I think he shouldn't try to change that. I mean, remember he had his breakout year in New York, looking to have a run at him? I mean, I think it'd be a nightmare for him career-wise to go outside of his game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he should just stick where he is.
He can play some backup point guard. You know, he can run the offense for you on occasion. But, you know, you give him that green light and he's going to spot up, shoot, and that's his game. And why mess with that if it's working?
Just an interesting little side note here. Did you see Matt Nielsen?
Spurs assistant?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I saw him out on the court with the guys warming up.
Did you see Becky Hammon?
Tell you what a bad sort, Becky Hammon.
Oy.
I reckon if me and Becky Hammon just created some life, I reckon be a hell of an athlete.
Wow.
Just have that Italian-Australian-American mix.
Oh, wow.
Definitely have her playmaking abilities, my inside game.
Let's move along. Rebounding. Well, look, we've done a lot of talking about the Clippers and their downfall. We haven't talked about that guy on the Spurs. You know who I'm talking about.
Popovich?
Kawhi.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That kid. Wow.
Every time I watch him play now, I think of Larry Bird in Indiana just punching the table. Why did I make that trade? Why did you let me pull the trigger?
He never breaks character either. He's never, like, overexcited about anything. You never see him say anything on the court. Like, he's just locked in. Man, that kid could play. He's something else. Today, those turnaround J's he was hitting everyone with, just giving the Clippers fits.
Do you reckon Larry Bird just calls George Hill into his office and goes, I hate you?
Or just cries on his shoulder.
Just cries. Look at you and look at him. That's a suitable offense.
I was going to open with somewhere in a quiet corner in Indiana. Larry Bird is in the corner weeping.
Hindsight,
man, huh?
Oh, God.
Was he the 15th pick? Player.
And this is why, I think me and you both had him in our top 10 small forward list.
We did.
And it was totally all on potential. I'm pretty sure Joey poo-pooed us on his Tim Wolves Explosion show.
Joey needs a hug this week, by the way. I don't know what's gotten into that guy.
Oh, grumpy Joey's back. He's working too hard, mate.
Joey! It's okay, we love you, mate.
When you get we still love you, but you're a bit grumpy.
It's playoff time. It's a bit emotional playoff time, okay? He's a Timberwolves fan. He's watched a lot of bad basketball up to this point, and let's leave him alone, let him settle down, he'll come around.
10 straight years, no playoffs.
Yikes.
I'm right behind you. A lot of people poo-pooed it, but...
Are you okay with him getting the Defensive Player of the Year award? So a lot of people are... A lot of people up in arms about that. I didn't know why. I was like...
I don't see how you could be up in arms about it.
Like, people arguing DeAndre Jordan online? It's like, come on now.
Sorry, when DeAndre Jordan lets a 38-year-old who turns 39 tomorrow drop 20 on him, you don't deserve the...
Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year award, so give it a rest.
But, look, as this series go on... He looks to be getting better and better. And I said it the other day, I think it was after game two, that I'm waiting for a breakout game. But what I meant was I'm actually just waiting for him to have one of those games. You know, one of those history games. You know, where he's pulling down, you know, when he's 40-20 in a game or something, you know, like just he's capable of it. And I feel like he's just teasing us all the way leading up to this game. Like, I honestly do. Like, it's honestly how I feel. Maybe he won't come to the next round, but, man, that kid is giving Doc Rivers some nightmares.
Can someone tell me what Matt Barnes is doing out there?
He's on the court. Stands pretty well. He's got a good standing pose.
There's no one, like, they really wanted Corey Brewer. They obviously didn't land him, but, geez, he would have been handy to match up.
They had Ingles, man. They had Ingles.
Ingles, Ingles would have...
I mean, he probably wouldn't have stopped him. He might have...
No.
He's good enough defensively to slow him.
But, I mean, did you see the play when Redick was on him? And Van Gundy goes, good position by Redick, but there's no length there. There's no vertical leap. There's no jump shot either, apparently. It's just the Spurs are the best at just taking you out of what you want to do. And it turns into a lot of one-on-one. So Dan May messaged me, he goes, too much one-on-one with his Clippers team. It's like, yeah, but that's the Spurs. They shuttle that down. Well, bloody coached. Like, was there a lob today for the Clippers? No one got an alley-oop from the Clippers. They just shut everything down.
Maybe like two in the fourth. That was about all I saw. But,
when it was all said and done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in this series? I don't know.
I just think that, well, this series, I don't think Clippers get another game on them. I think that's it. I think it's a 4-1 Spurs. But, I mean, I think there's some serious questions the Clippers need to be asking themselves this offseason. I mean, because I really feel like with the Clippers, they hit their plateau probably two seasons ago.
For me, it's Doc Rivers has signed the wrong personnel.
You reckon?
Pardon me. Yeah, I do. I don't think his signings have been really smart.
But there was Austin Rivers. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right.
Remember when Youngfer said Austin Rivers was going to be a star? if this is a first Durant exit, and it looks like it will be, Rivers has to make wholesale changes to that bench.
Well, I even think the starters need a touch up. Look, I don't even think the starters are safe.
Well, I agree. I'm not happy with Redick. I know today he shot crap, but I prefer Redick off the bench.
He shouldn't
be starting.
No.
So you've got to find a two guard from somewhere. Better three-man than Matt Barnes. Again, another guy who's better off the bench. So, I mean, he wanted Tayshaun Prince, but like Bill Simmons said, there's no way the Celtics were ever going to just waive him so he could go to the Clippers and that
top. Honestly, what's Tayshaun going to bring? I mean, look, I know he's a smart vet. Look, I like Tayshaun Prince, but he's not going to...
Not sure he's going to stop Kawhi Leonard.
Well,
not stop him. But
I don't know that it changes that team that much.
No, you're right. Interesting times for Clippers fans. They're talking a big game.
Yeah,
you know, we run LA.
The parking lot, maybe. Let's move along now to the last matchup. You like that one?
Kiosk. I did like that one. It's not as good as mine, but
I had my moments. Houston versus Dallas, a lot going on. Mark Cuban coming out and saying, that's not a very good team, except for James Harden. I don't know. I watched game two while I was on holiday, and pretty sure Corey Brewer tore him a new one. Pretty sure that whole Houston bench pretty much lit them up. I mean, Harden's been great, don't get me wrong. It's great for those guys to have Dwight Howard back in the mix now. Man, what else can you say about James Harden? He's just so much offense, so much offense, so hard to stop. But Dallas, man, so many question marks now. Shall we talk about Game 2 and Rondo? Should we get into that? Should we talk about the divide between... I don't even think it's necessarily just Rick Carlisle and Rondo, but it's obviously it obviously extends beyond that as well.
Did you notice something today? I think Richard Jefferson had an epiphany.
Yeah. Continue.
You don't even know if I pronounced it right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it. I'm going to benefit of the doubt.
An epiphany. Bear with us, folks. We're just two blue-collar guys here.
Literally.
He went to the basket for, I think it was a dunk or a shot, and Howard just swatted it away. And I think Jefferson looked up and went, I don't think I'm good enough to play here anymore.
You think that is his moment?
He went and fouled deliberately and then just said, I've got to come off. And then later on, Carlisle was like, RJ, you're in. And he's like, no, I can't go in.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
So, yeah. So did he just quit on Coach Carlisle?
Maybe. Here's an interesting question. I remember when the Rondo deal first went down and obviously they're having their troubles, Vince. I said to you that, you know, there was the rumor of Rondo saying that, you know, he wouldn't be back if the coach came back. And I asked you whether Cuban would pick the point guard over the coach or vice versa.
I think they've already made their decision.
Well, I think they've made their decision. But do you think that Carlisle is a different
kind of... Been there a long time.
Look, Doc... Rondo in Boston under Doc gave him the free range. Okay, could run the show how he wanted. Wasn't going to call many plays for him. Carlisle's totally different coach, a harder coach, I believe, than Doc. I mean, yeah, Doc could get on you, but I mean,
yeah, not what you're saying.
Carlisle's calling the plays, and I think Rondo has a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah, Rondo wants to call the majority of the plays.
Yeah, so it doesn't work. But what I saw in Game 2. Man, I've got to say, I actually lost a little bit of respect for Rondo because I really do feel like he quit on everyone in that game. And, you know, it's only been backed up through the week by NBA analysts and ex-players basically confirming it. But, you know, as far as, like, the eye test from television, you know, and what translated to my brain, man, he didn't want to be there. He was over it.
Well,
because he's not just quitting on Carlisle, he's quitting on the whole team. And I feel really bad for Dirk for it because, like I said on the Facebook post earlier today, it's like I actually don't feel like Dallas even need a top-tier point guard. You know, I'd be quite happy for them to make the trade to New York and send Rondo for Calderon. They need someone who's going to run the show. And I think one of the biggest things we've seen in this series as well, or in Rondo's time in Dallas, is that What was Rondo averaging? Like, I'm not sure the points. Must have been like, let's say 10.
It was around between 7 and 9.
Okay, well, yeah, I was going to say, let's give him 10 to 12 points a game. But it was the 10 assists, 7 rebounds a game that we got from Rondo this year from Rondo in Boston. We're not even getting anywhere close to that in Dallas. And he's on a much better squad.
I honestly think Rondo is a guy that... If he's not happy, he can't... Like, if he's not happy, that's everything else falls apart.
Do you feel like he's one of those guys that he's either all in or all out? Like, it's just...
He's a sook. Like a sook.
Yeah.
Like me six-year-old daughter. When she sooks up, nothing makes her happy.
Yeah.
You can give her a new...
Wait.
She's sooky.
Kids don't do that. What are you talking about?
No. Well, some people's kids out there don't. They're all perfect. Mine certainly do. Yeah, he's just a sook. And I think it's a place where I think Rondo wants to choose where he wanted to end up.
I feel like it's kind of in his head. He's already made the decision. He wants to be somewhere else. And that's
absolutely.
And that's kind of it. Do you know what I mean? Like that's that game too. I mean, like a lot of people are pinning this on Carlisle versus Rondo, but for the team, and we're podcasting, you can't see my exclamation marks here, but for the team, for the franchise, for Cuban to make the call that he's not playing again, I think it goes a little bit beyond Carlisle versus Rondo.
Well, I think when the trade was made, just saying, I'm just to my opinion. I think he was like, okay, this could be good. Got Dirk, got Tyson Chandler, I got some options I can throw the pill to. And then when he got there, I think he thought, this Carlisle bloke's a knob. Well, Carl, I don't like this coach. This coach won't let me run stuff I want to run. And then I think after that, it's all downhill. I think being a coach, it's so much about man management too.
Yeah.
Not just X's and O's. And I think Carlisle made the mistake of not massaging Rondo's ego a little bit and saying, you know, I'm going to give you 90% of the plays to choose to run and all this and that. And maybe he didn't do that. Maybe that's what he needed to do. Rondo, I think, is a guy like needs a hug every now and then and
I don't just know, like,
his ego a bit.
And it's that whole thing now, Vince, like as far as like the Rondo to LA rumours, there's two things that come into play. I'm looking at this from LA management going, do I really want Rondo here? Because if it goes south pretty quick. Plus, you got the factor of Clarkson, how well Clarkson played. And Rondo is actually the prime example of Clarkson, because if you don't spend the money on Rondo, you can afford to go get someone else. And isn't that essentially what Boston fans were screaming about when the big three first signed was to get rid of Rondo, bring in a legit point guard? But the other factor to this is that if Rondo can't make it work with Dirk and more efficiently, if Rondo can't make it work with Monta Ellis, what chance he got playing alongside Kobe Bryant in LA? He's kidding himself.
The thing is, I think he and Kobe actually have a really good relationship. I think Kobe sees a lot of himself in Rondo.
I think Kobe's probably seen the same amount in Clarkson. And Clarkson's willing to listen and learn and to soak it all in, which only feeds to Kobe's ego. I don't know if you're going to get the same results once losing starts with Rondo and Kobe.
I know Lakers aren't in the playoffs, but it's Kobe's last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could possibly have Rondo, Clarkson playing the two, because he can. He's big enough and he's good enough, I think.
Mm.
And Kobe playing the three.
Terrible.
Especially when you've got Byron Scott coaching. But, yeah, look, Mavs...
They're in trouble.
They are. They are. And I said to... And you poo-pooed this, but Mavs should do everything they can to get LaMarcus Aldridge to that team.
No, I don't like that move.
But why?
You want to put Dirk as your sixth man. That's the problem I have with it.
A 37-year-old Dirk as a sixth man.
It's not as if Dirk is burnt out from windmilling alley-oop throws to him. Like, come on. He's much in the Zeebo zone where his game hasn't exactly put a massive toll on his body. Yeah, okay, he's had some niggles and whatnot, but the thing that makes Dirk Dirk, Vince, and the thing that's going to send Dirk to the Hall of Fame when he hangs him up and he's going to go down as the best international player to ever lace him up in the NBA is his outside shot. LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't have a three-point shot.
No, you're right. He doesn't have a three-point shot, but he's got a freaking sweet-ass shot.
But so does Dirk.
And he's 10 years freaking younger.
Well, what I'm saying is it's just a sideways move to make... They need to address the point guard.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not.
They need to make the point guard issue their priority before they would look to that.
Agreed they need a point guard, right?
Yeah.
But Dirk's averaging, 10 rebounds this series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today he dropped 33, I think it was, 34. Yeah. Played a shit ton of minutes. He keeps doing that throughout the playoffs, which obviously he won't. He's going to hit. The performances are going to dip. It takes it out of his legs. He's nearly 37. You're not going to get this, the Dirk. Look at the struggles he had at times this season.
Right. He's getting that off. But I don't see why you think that LaMarcus has a better shot against Dwight and Josh Howard, because if anything, those guys guarding and Dirk's ability to drag those two guys right out behind the three-point line to be hit in transition at the top of the key is something LaMarcus doesn't even have. LaMarcus will have to rely on his back.
Are you telling me LaMarcus won't drag them out? Are you nuts?
Okay, he's going to drag what, to 18 footers?
But LaMarcus can score on any of those blokes.
I tell you what, the amount of minutes you just said.
40-point games.
Yeah, the multiple. Amount of minutes. Come on now.
Point game. Shut up, you flog. He killed him last year.
That was last year.
Oh, who was he matched up on? Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I don't know. He
slaughtered him.
Nah. I don't like the idea of taking Dirk to sixth man. I think he's still efficient.
Why is that a bad thing? He's still going to play 20 to 25 minutes a night. And if he wins a championship...
So are you going to play our lineup with Chandler, Dirk and Aldridge?
Of course not. You move... Oh, let's not be... Don't be silly. You move LaMarcus can play at centre for a little bit and you play Dirk at the four.
All I'm saying is sort out the guard thing first and then maybe look at that. I don't like the idea. I don't think it works, but hey.
Mate, I agree with the point guard, but if LaMarcus Aldridge comes to Mark Cuban and goes, I want to play for you, I'm signing him. And then worry about the point guard, because you'll get a point guard that will go, shit, I'm going there. hopefully it's not Deron Williams.
Brendan Irwin typed in an X factor for us. He said, Rondo, can he be the playoff Rondo again? It's a real shame we haven't seen that this series, because Dallas could have used it without getting them to the whole Rondo issue again. And,
well, he was game one for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, he did have a little glimpse there for a bit, but actually, you know what, even in game two, though, at the start, there was a point there where he was just, look like Dirk heated up and Rondo was looking at him. You know, Rondo was hitting him with passes and really were orchestrating the offense well, and then it just stopped. That three that Terry got was just insane. He just literally walked away from him. There's nothing, like, I don't know, like, Joey was question marking it. Joey, just watch game two of this series. And I think that says a lot about Rondo's mind state in this game. Because I don't really believe a coach can ever really quit on a player.
Can fall out of love with a player.
Well, there's that. But I mean, if a player is good enough, he's... Look at the rocky relationship, especially early on, that Allen Iverson and Larry Brown had.
Yeah.
But Iverson was their best player. Of course he had to play him. Couldn't sit down.
But the respect... Iverson still respected him.
Definitely.
That's without question, still respected Larry. I don't think Rondo respects Carlisle. Hmm. One, he hates him, doesn't respect him at all.
And that's it at the moment. He's done.
And that's all you get. Yep.
Yep.
There's no middle ground.
Yeah. Well, I originally had Houston taking this series 5-2, but I just can't see Dallas. I think the wind's been knocked out of them now.
Yeah, I actually had Dallas for an upset. Don't know why. Maybe I fell in love with the whole Rondo thing, Dirk again, and with that. But there's no way they win a game now.
There's too much firepower,
especially with Parsons out as well.
Oh, got to give it up for Josh Smith as well. He played an awesome game the other day.
And today, found Howard with some nice passes. And you know what? Credit to Dwight Howard. Looks like...
He looked good somewhat. Today. He looked good today. He got away with a lot of crap, but...
Got away with a lot, but he looks like the Dwight Howard of 09.
Yeah, I agree. He looked great today.
And shit, just proof. He doesn't need to score to be effective. 26 rebounds, blocks... Was throwing his weight around. Some was illegal. but, you know, good on him. I've always said he made the right decision leaving LA. Good on him for getting his body back right and playing well.
Oh, I love playoffs. I love the playoffs.
Ooh, it's good. It's very stress-free when your team's not in it, though.
Yeah, I could imagine.
our stress comes in lottery time.
I'm not exactly stressed right now, though, I've got to say, being up two games in Portland, but... I feel you. I feel you.
Please don't feel me. Cool. I'm not in this.
And of course, you can catch all the Courtside Madness at the website www.crtsde, where you'll find links to the show, The Courtside Podcast. We're back, available on iTunes and Podomatic. Search The Courtside Podcast. You can download, subscribe to the show. Please leave a review, guys. Everything helps. We are on the Facebook page regularly. Complaining, arguing, all that good stuff, all caps Courtside. Come down, check us out. We're also available on Twitter at CRTSDE. Vince.
VINRK44 at Twitter.
And on Instagram at CRTSDE.
And I don't have Instagram. What's the point of Instagram? I don't get it.
Vince. It's been emotional.
And you're still slow. Here it comes. Watch out!
Here it comes. Watch out.
Ball.